Praise the Lord. Okay, today we are going to start a new chapter. We are still in the book of Acts. We are going to study chapter 6. And this chapter, we are going to read the whole chapter, starting from verse 1. Go ahead.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Amen.
But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Amen.
Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Syrians and Alexandrians, and of them Cecilia of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they subnored men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we heard last week the disciples' number was growing and God was using them mightily. And now you see the word of God is saying, verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Now when you say number of disciples multiplied, each and every followers of Jesus Christ is a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Each and every believer is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Disciples means what? Followers.
Followers.
We are all followers of Jesus Christ. And the number, the word of God says, multiply. It didn't say, in the beginning we learned, the number was added to the church. But now it's multiplying.
Amen.
So the number is growing faster. And once the Lord's work is growing faster, some kind of enemy will come. An enemy will come to disturb the work of God. Every time you can see, anywhere you are doing great and the work of God is progressing, something will come to disturb the work of God. It's in the family, it's in the house, it's in the country. Everywhere you see, if everything is going fine, something will come to disturb or destroy the work. And here he's saying there are different kinds of people joined together in the ministry. When the work of God is like, for example, our church is International Christian Fellowship. And so we have international people coming to our church. So there is no partiality that pastor or the deacons or the other pastors showing partiality for a certain kind of people. Because, for example, you won't see many people from my country here at all. They are all there having their own language and they are having their own services. But here we are all together with a one language, a one accord, and one mind. Even though we have different languages, we are preaching the word of God, what the American language is. So what I'm trying to say, we do not have any problem. People are not saying you're always speaking in English. We need some Spanish language, we need some Indian language, we need some other languages, and we do not have any problem like that. Because we are all together coming as a one body.
Amen.
When the number was multiplying, some people start murmuring. Last time we heard, murmuring is a very bad thing in the Word of God. Some people murmur against Moses, murmur against God, and they were punished in the Old Testament. Now we are in the grace period.
That's right.
People can murmur, people can fight, people can do any wrong to anybody, and people are thinking nothing is happening. Because when these people murmur, no curse came, nothing, but the church people were a little bit disturbed. Means the ministers of the gospel. Please read that word. Verse 1.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
Now what happens here, they're all Jewish people, but some of the people, for example, some people, Jewish people in here in America, they speak English. If some Jewish people in Russia, they speak Russian, and some Jewish people in different countries, they speak different languages. But when they gather together in Jerusalem, they might say, oh, we are from America, you're from Russia, you're from this, and they might have some problem there, we don't know. This kind of problem they saw here. They start saying Hebrew people are neglecting a Grecian, a Jewish. So they are not giving our widows proper food, proper attention, and they had some kind of disagreement and fighting and war. So that's why the Peter start thinking and other apostles start thinking, we have to do something about it. Let's read the verse too.
Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.
So we do not know what kind of problem they had, but the disciples gathered all the multitude, said, okay, we are going to take care of you. What is your problem? And they said, this problem is about food. So he said, now all these 12 disciples were doing the Lord's work and doing the cooking and giving food and everything. Some churches, when you see the pastor and his family, they do all the things. And some people say, why pastor and his family doing all the things? Some people think that these ministers are doing everything, pastor doing everything. But other people have to show interest to do things for the glory of God. So he said, okay, let's gather all the people and we'll talk to them. And then see, let's watch verse 3.
Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Amen. Now, the Peter and other apostles start saying, listen, go and find people. Find people. What kind of people? He says, we want honest people, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom and well known in the community. Those kind of people bring it. When you see some people, you will see they have the desire to work for the Lord. This is not one man's work. We need so many ministers around the world. So we have to educate them and bring them to the fold.
Amen.
So here he says what kind of people we should have. Let's go and read a little bit in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13.
This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Amen. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Go to Titus and let's read a few verses from there. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 to 9.
For this cause let thy thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, Amen. Not given to wine, yes. No striker, not given to filthy lucre. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers.
Amen. Amen. Now see, this is the qualification of the ministers. And now, once you start looking for the ministers, and judging them means, and judging means thinking in your heart what kind of person is worthy to be ordained for the ministry. Sometimes when you see in these other denominations, they are not looking for qualification. They are just looking for the number. They're just thinking, now some of the places they don't have ministers. People are not coming in the ministry. So they said somehow, somewhere, they want to get this kind of people in the ministry. But the word of God is saying, we cannot just take anybody to the ministry. They have to have a qualification. They have to know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They have to know the word of God. They have to be sober and vigilant, not, now when we read in Timothy, he says he should not be drinking much wine. So somebody says, well, little wine will be fine. But in Titus, he says he should not be drinking wine at all. So that means the minister of the gospel has to have what? Sober mind. If somebody starts drinking and then coming and start reading, all the verses will start looking double. Yeah. You won't be able to even read and teach the word of God.
Amen.
So the word of God is saying the ministry is chosen by God for His glory.
Amen.
So we have to be very careful. There are other people fighting that why somebody did not in this person or that person, and why I'm here for 20 years and why they're not giving me chance. First of all, God has to ordain you. Before man ordains you, you have to be qualified in the eyes of God. And then some people will notice. They will notice your behavior. They will notice how you talk. They will notice how you behave with other people. They will see the love of God in you. They will see that you know the word of God. Nobody has to force into the ministry. Somebody has to see your works. And that's what they said. Go and find some ministers. Go and find some workers so we can appoint for this kind of job. And so they found somebody. Let's read verse 4. 4 and 5.
But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, as proselyte of Antioch.
Okay, now all of these names are very difficult to pronounce. But once you start saying all the time, it'll be fine. Because somebody's name, once they give it to you, and it's very difficult, and you forget within a second. But you have to keep on thinking in your mind about that person will not have problem. So what the Peter and other servants of God is saying, what we have to do, appoint these people for this business. What kind of business was it? This business was feeding the people, taking care of the cooking, taking care of the going for shopping and doing everything, whatever is needed to cook and feed the people of God.
Amen.
But nowhere we see here Peter or John or any apostle says, do they have the training about cooking? Do they know what kind of spices should be used? Do they know how to cook food properly? Let's ask their wives. Does this man help you in the cooking in the house? Nobody said anything like that. But they said, these people should be what? These people should be full of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom of God, and they're fully well known in the community.
Amen.
Those kind of people were chosen to do the household work, the cooking and feeding the people. Just think about it. If these ordinary people were chosen for the ordinary job, if just simply cooking and feeding the people, those people have to have a Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And they should know the word of God or the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now see some other churches, I'm not condemning them, but you see, some of the people do not know even the word of God. Mm-hmm. I told you the other day, we went to some place and we gave only simple one scripture. That man could not find the scripture in the Bible, going back and forth, and we just wanted to see how much words he knows. It took 5-7 minutes.
Mm.
And so, what I'm trying to say, if the person doesn't know the word of God, he's not an ordinary person, he's the director of that whole mission.
Wow.
So if the director of the mission doesn't know the word of God, how he's going to teach the other people? So the word of God is saying, what we're going to do, the people who are the minister of the gospel, continually prayer and ministering the word of God.
Amen.
So what he's trying to say, if somebody wants to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they have to have the prayer life.
Amen.
If you are not praying, you are not going to get the anointing, or if you are not going to get the word of God. I had one minister with me, and he used to struggle to preach. Each and every Sunday he would come to me. He will not tell me Saturday or something like that. He will come to me 9 o'clock or 9:30 as the service is going on. And he will come and whisper in my ear, today you are going to preach. I never told that man, why didn't you tell me before? I would have prepared. I would have, you know, studied the Word of God. But I was depending on the Word of God because I was always praying. I was always reading the Word of God. I was always studying the Word of God. So I do not have to worry. So that's why the Word of God says, you ready what? Season out of season every time. What I'm trying to say, the children of God should be ready all the time.
Amen. That's right.
If somebody say you just pray, you should pray. You should say, you give testimony, you should give testimony. You read the Bible, you should read the Bible. You should say some few words, you should say few words. Because we should be always ready. But if you are not a praying person, if you're not reading the Bible, and when I say let's study from the Word of God, and I say let's read the book of Jude, and you start going to Genesis, then we know he doesn't read the Bible. So we have to know the Word of God properly so we can preach to others. Amen. If I'm not educating myself, how can I teach somebody else? Okay, so they have chosen these people. And as soon as we came to this verse 5, they say the Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. You can see as soon as we given these names, one man was completely shining. What did they see in this man? He said, this man is full of faith and this man is full of the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, amen.
So see, that means he was doing something before he was chosen. Amen. People saw him, his faith. People saw him, his work. Before I came to the ministry, I was not even ordained. As soon as I got saved, I started doing the Lord's work. And many people got saved. And people were coming. I would go, how the evening services after the church, we were having open air services and we were doing the Lord's work before even I was ordained. I was fully minister. That's what I'm trying to say. So the people should see you that doing something for the glory of God. You don't have to wait when they will call me, then I will be ordained and then I will learn the Bible and then I will be preached. It'll be too late. You should be learning now. Some people say, well, I don't have time. You will not have time at all.
That's right. Well,
because when you put something before God, you will not have time. That's what the Word of God says. What? Seek ye what?
First.
Amen. The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things will be added unto you.
Yep.
Before you get up from your bed, first thing you do, pray. Thank you, Jesus, that showing me other day. Before you can open your eyes, get up, sit in your bed, start praying before you go to do anything. Just pray. And then start your day with a prayer. And God will bless you. So here the Word of God is saying, they have seen something in this man. This man is full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let's read the verse 6.
When they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them.
Verse 7.
And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith.
Amen. Now what these people did, all these names came, and they found out these people are really, really ready for the ministry. But other people, they just did not just say, okay, let's come and ordain them right away. What did they do? They prayed. Jesus Christ, before he ordained the apostles, what did he do? He went to the mountain. He prayed overnight, whole night, and next day he ordained those disciples. So what I'm trying to say, pastor has a great responsibility. Of the church pastors, they have great responsibility. Ordaining somebody, they have to pray and ask God, even the other people chosen them, and say, these other people are ready. Then you pray and ask God, are these people ready for the ministry? And then God will give you grace. Sometimes we do make a mistake. If you remember, God told Samuel, go to Jesse's house, and I have chosen a man as a king. And Samuel went to Jesse's house, and he saw first son, tall, handsome, and he wanted to ordain him. God says, no. You are looking outward appearance. I see inside of the person. This is not a qualified person. Now Samuel is the man of God. He is the praying man. He's supposed to know the will of God. But he saw the man handsome and tall because the first king was the tallest king, means the tallest man in Israel. He was a handsome, tall guy. So Samuel thought, God wants tall people and God wants handsome people. That's what he thought. And so he said, okay, I'm going to ordain this man. He said, no. Then he said, let me other person. And when other person came, he said, no, not this one. And all the brothers came and not a single one was qualified. And then he says, when God says there is not this one, not this one, not this one, so what? All the people were in the house, they were not qualified. Then Samuel asked him a question. Do you have another son? Because David's mother and father thought David is the youngest one, or he is, you know, he's the shepherd boy. He may not be qualified for king. Only the other people were in the army. They knew some training and everything. So those are the people should be kings. So they just say, you go to the field, take care of the sheep. And they did not even tell him that somebody is going to be anointed today as a king. So this poor David didn't know anything. He went to the field taking care of the sheep. When the Samuel said, do you have any other son? Because he could not see anything, and God says nobody is qualified. So he asked the question, he said, yes. And then they brought David from the field. What I'm trying to say, the word of God says, man looks outside appearance, God looks inside.
Amen.
Sometimes when you see somebody from outside, you go and pray about this person, is it qualified? And that's what these people did. They prayed and asked God, and then they laid hand, and then all these people, when they saw the discipline of the disciples and the love for the ministry, people coming, and this time these people coming is not ordinary like today. In those days, when the disciple came to Jesus Christ, what did he say? Forsake all. Give up your jobs, give up your everything, and follow me. And they followed. Peter says, Lord, we forsook everything and we came after you. What are we going to get? What did he say? 100% what you gave and plus eternal life. You will have more than enough what you gave up. So here we see all these people came to the Lord. That means they gave up their jobs. They gave up everything what they were doing. And so other people saw their dedications. How many people are hungry for the word of God? And here the word of God says, what happened? The disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Looking at the people are giving their jobs and following the Lord Jesus Christ. and we are not doing right kind of job. They were priests. He says, they were great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What does it mean? All the priests, those priests has to work in the synagogue. And those priests, when they saw this Stephen and all other disciples became the followers of Jesus Christ, giving up everything, they start thinking, what we are doing in the temple? Because when Jesus Christ died, the temple's curtain was torn from top to bottom, and now there is no partition between holy place and most holy place. And so now the priest's job is stopped. They have nothing to do. So many priests, before that we learned how many priests were giving hard time to the church of God. But here, multiple, many, many priests joined in the faith, and see what happens. Verse 8.
And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Now, see, these seven people were chosen for the food service. Stephen showed so much interest in the work of God. Some people might be saying, hey, my job is to just clean the church, help in the cooking, and I'm tired. And today you people are saying, let's go outdoor for preaching the word of God, and I'm tired, I'm not going. That is not the sign of the servant of God. I'll give one example. We had one brother, very fired for the Lord. He wants to do anything for the Lord. And one person came to our church. He was the director of the transportation system. He's the big man. Came to our church. We didn't have the chairs. He sat on the floor and listened to the word of God. And then he said, I'm thirsty. I need a water. So one of the brothers, I said, could you please go and get the water for him? You know what that brother said? I'm not going to give water. Let him get up and go himself and get the water. So what happened? I said to this brother, okay, no problem. I said, excuse me, sir. I went to the kitchen. I got him a glass of water and gave it to him. And then we had this person. After that, I talked with him, prayed with him. He left. Then we had the evening service. Evening outdoor service. And this man was so excited getting ready for outdoor service. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going for outdoor service. I said, no, sir. You are not qualified. You cannot go. You could not give a glass of water to this person. What are you going to go and testify there outside?
That's right.
I said, you are not allowed to go, and I'm not going to take you for the outdoor meeting.
Amen.
Even though he knew how to preach, he knew he was excited, but I did not take him. I told him, sir, you have to humble yourself.
That's right. Amen.
If you want to go, you better go to kitchen, start washing the dishes.
Amen.
Before we go. You could not give the glass of water, now go and wash the dishes. And he went, washed the dishes.
Amen.
But still that Sunday, we did not allow him to preach.
Amen.
And he asked me forgiveness. He said, I made a mistake. I said, sir, the word of God says, humble yourself.
Amen.
In the mighty hand of God. Then he will lift you up.
Yeah.
But you cannot make yourself higher than others.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say, this Stephen, cooking, tired, weary, going out and doing the works. What he was doing? He says he was full of faith and the power of God. And what he did? Did great wonders and miracles among the people.
Amen.
Where did he find the time? He has to go for shopping. He has to bring the food. He has to cut and clean and cook. And give everybody food before the service or after the service or whatever. And after that, tired and weary, going out and praying for people, and the word of God says he did great wonders and the miracles of God. So we have to learn something from this man. We come to church, 1 hour or half an hour is too much.
That's right.
Sometimes we feel sleepy in the church.
Amen.
What is the reason? Because Saturday you might be watching midnight show or watching wrestling or something or doing some other things or party, and then you come to church, you are half sleepy.
Amen. Go ahead.
If you want to be alert, go to sleep early Saturday.
That's right.
And so you will have more energy and more strength to listen to the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And get more strength and power from the word of God. So here the word of God is in this man is going around and doing the Lord's work, signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen.
How many believers are believing in this? If you really believe, you know what you would do? As I said earlier, I was not ordained minister. I was going to house, praying for people, casting out the demons, praying for people before I was ordained.
Amen.
I was just filled with the Holy Spirit and I start doing the works. Waiting upon the Lord for the ordination. What I'm trying to say, in your neighborhood, people might be hungry. In your job, people might be hungry. Wherever you go, people might be ready. One day I went to trip to Russia. And my partner, one partner was prejudiced. He said, I don't want to go with the Indian guy. So he switched his ticket to other guy. And he comes and whispers to me, I was not your partner. But other guy didn't want any partnership with you. So can I come with you as a partner? I was asking a single room. I was prepared to pray for single room. But there was no single room. So I had to be partner with somebody. Now this person comes and we went there and then he started keeping his stuff and he got a severe headache. He took a shower. It will not go. He washed his head with the cold water and it was not going. And he's walking around in this room. Oh my head, oh my head, oh my head. And I was listening. But I did not offer my prayer to him. Then he got angry. He said, are you a minister? I said, yes, sir. Why don't you pray for me then? I said, sir, you just told me a few minutes ago. One of your partners switched the ticket with you because he did not want to come in my room. I don't know how much prejudice you have if I lay hand and pray for you. You may not believe. He said, please lay hand on me and pray for me. As soon as I laid hand and prayed, his headache was instantly
Amen.
Gone.
Amen.
And he goes and tells every, we had 120 members we went together. He went to everybody and started telling what God has done. And many people start coming to my room for prayer.
Amen.
And many, many people got blessed when I was there. What I'm trying to say, wherever you go, use the power of God.
True.
Let the people know that you are called by His name. There is nothing to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So this man was doing miracles. Let's read verse 9.
Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of libertines, and Syrians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake.
Amen. Now look at these people. Now these people are not ordinary. These people are from the different synagogues. Scholars coming and trying to argue with Stephen. And their argument was not, you did not cook the food properly, or this meat was raw, or that was burned. They were not talking about that. They were talking about the word of God. They want to see how much knowledge this man has about the word. And the word of God says when Stephen starts speaking to them, they could not resist the wisdom and the spirit which he had. Or he was speaking by the power of God. And they can see the wisdom of God and the power of God coming through Stephen.
Amen.
When Jesus used to preach, he says he preached with the authority and with the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And that's what we see in Stephen. Okay, let's read verse 11.
Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council.
Okay, now what happened here? They persuaded some people. Hey, this Stephen talking about God, talking about the miracle of God, he has a lot of wisdom and a lot of power. We cannot stop his mouth. We want some people to say something lie and tell the other people that he is speaking about against Moses, against the temple, and against God. So we can find some fault, and they actually start lying about Stephen, and they arrested him. Let's read further.
And they set up false witnesses which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us."
Okay. Now what they're trying to say, they got some false witnesses. And false witnesses start coming and saying, he's preaching against the holy place, he's preaching against the Mosaic law, he's preaching against God, he's preaching against Moses. And he is trying to change the law and trying to change everything against the law and going to establish new thing about Jesus Christ. And so lying and twisting the words and start finding fault in Stephen's. Why? Because they were not able to resist him with the word of God or the wisdom of God or the knowledge of God. So much wisdom, so much power. So now they don't know what to do. So they start paying people. I don't know, they might have paid somebody to lie something. And they arrested him and they want to now kill the Stephen. Let's read where time is going. Let's read further.
And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel.
Amen. Now when these people were angry, wanted to kill the Stephen. Stephen was afraid? No. Once you are afraid, you can see the change in your face. When you sad, you can see the change in your face. If you're lying, you can see the change in your face. Your face will tell the story.
Amen.
If you're lying. You don't have to take the lie detective test. You just bring the man in front of me and tell me that this person did something. And I'm looking at that person, I will tell you if that person did something or not. Because we can see with that man's face and his action will talk. And you can figure it out what kind of crime he has done. In there are so many ways in India, there is a certain kind of group. They want to find out a person is lying. They do tests. They don't have a lie detective test. They will give a handful of rice, put it in his mouth, and say, chew it. And then take it out. And they will give certain times. So what happened when the takes it out, the rice is still dry. What happens when you are afraid, saliva stop coming. Your mouth dries up. You remember some people trying to preach and their mouth dries up. So they need a glass of water. Because you can see fear and anxiety dries up your saliva.
Yes, sir.
So you cannot even talk. So here we see this man, they're saying what? They are not saying this man afraid. They are not seeing this man is having anger. They see his face, what? The face like an angel.
Amen.
That means his face is happy, he's joyful, and he is showing no fear. I told you one time I was fasting for 21 days. And after the 21 days, I preached there, and that was the first day. And when I was preaching, one man comes to me. He says, "Your face looks like an angel. What kind of vitamin you take?" I showed my skinny bones. I said, "Look at my skin and bones. This is not the vitamin. This is the power of God. God is the only one is speaking through me because I'm so weary and I'm so tired." When I was so tired, and first day, and they moved the podium. When I went there and the podium was not there, and I was so disappointed. I looked everywhere, and now they said it's too late because meeting is already started. So I said, "Lord, I wanted to lean on that table, and they took my table away." You know what Jesus said? "You want to lean on a table, or you want to lean on me?" I said, "Lord, I'm sorry asking you that. I'm going to lean on you." And that's what God gave me, strength and power to preach. And then one man comes and says, "What kind of vitamin you take?" So similar example, you see, once the Stephen was preaching, I don't know how many hours, but he was not tired. He was not weary. They saw the face of an angel, like he is glowing. Let's go to the 1 John chapter 3 and first three verses you read, and I'm going to finish it there.
"Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is."
Amen. We are the children of God.
Amen.
The world doesn't know us. But what he's saying, one day will come. Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
You remember we were listening to the song about Jesus coming? Jesus is coming very soon. And what he's going to do? He's going to change you and me just like him. We don't have to worry about how we look like today. People want to change. There are so many things there. They have how to remove your wrinkles and how you can be a handsome or beautiful. Thousands of dollars we have to spend. We don't have to spend a penny. As soon as Jesus Christ comes, we will be transformed.
Amen.
We will be just like him.
Amen.
But what we have to do for that? Read verse 3.
"And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure."
Amen. Amen. What hope? This hope that Jesus Christ is coming, we will be like him. All our sickness, all our disease, all our wrinkles, all our gray hair, everything will be gone. We will be just healthy like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he said, if you have that hope, and then what you do? Purify yourself as he is pure. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Thank you, Jesus, for your great calling. We are so grateful to you that you have given us chance to serve you. Thank you for Stephen. He gave us a good example.
Yes, Lord.
That we should be not looking for our tiredness or our weakness or our problems, but looking unto Jesus,
yes,
who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He's coming very soon. And he's going to change us into glory. Lord Jesus, you have given us the great hope. And our hope is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're coming very soon. Lord Jesus, give us grace to wait upon you. Preach the gospel. Do signs and wonders and miracles in your name. Give us grace and use each and every church member for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.